keep us on track. And there's certain things we'll see where it goes. There's still a couple other things that God has been saying, that there's some direction that the body of Christ as a whole, not just this church in particular, but as a whole, that the body of Christ has kind of leaned in a direction, and we got to get that back in the right focus. And I see the prophecies and things coming through the nation, and I hear the words of other ministers, and I'm starting to see the trend now is going back in the right direction. So it's good to see that. Anybody, this is on a totally different note, on a side note, but did anybody happen to catch all the stuff that happened with the Monday night football game? Okay. And we were watching that game, and I'll tell you, it was very emotional to watch and to see this guy collapse on the field. And I watched it happen in real time, and then I saw the replays and all these things, and it began to speak to you, and you saw all these players coming together, and these toughest guys, some of them the toughest guys on the planet, and they're crying, they're dropping to their knees, they're hugging each other and weeping because of a love that they had towards a friend that had collapsed on the field. And as you know, if you heard that story, the guy was literally had a cardiac arrest on the field. They had to resuscitate him a couple times. He got his heart beating again before he left the field, got him in an ambulance, and off he went. And then all throughout the week, you saw all these things about prayer. And even yesterday, there was football games yesterday and things going on, but they're still talking about it. And it's still, you know, you see the signs in the stands, pray for him, you know, pray for this guy. And the guy is posting things online saying it's working. Okay, and that is it's United States, but it's worldwide. People all over the world are hearing and sensing and feeling what is happening. God is at work and answering prayers right now. And if people will come together and pray and to put that out there, there is something supernatural that God then takes, and he does that because he is the one that changes the hearts of people. He is the one that takes the masses that may have, like I said, going in kind of a wrong direction. He's the one that begins to shape that back in the direction that he wants. If people will humble themselves and pray, God will interject and intercede on behalf of us. His Holy Spirit is always at work, and we know that. Sometimes we just need to put it into words. But I'll tell you, it's awesome to see what is happening. I'm glad that guy is recovering and giving God some praise for it as well. It just continues to glorify God. And I love the little, if you guys are into Facebook at all, you see the little meme, somebody put the Forrest Gump guy sitting on the bench, and he says, and just like that, it became okay to pray again. and it's just happening. So it's awesome to see guys kneeling on the field for good reasons and doing that stuff as well. So there's your sermon before the sermon, or just a little encouragement for you, I guess, this morning. But praise God. Let's get into God's Word. Father, we're yielded to you today, Lord. We want to open ourselves up to your Holy Spirit, to allow you to minister to us, to speak, Father, in a language that we understand, to be able to get through the clutter in our mind and get through the hardness in our heart, and be able to penetrate in and touch us in a place, Lord, that causes a little tenderness to be revealed towards you, that we soften our heart towards you, that we clear our mind to be able to receive what you're trying to say, and then we do something with it. We take that little bit of change, that little bit of thing that you're doing on the inside, and we begin to let it manifest on the outside through our words, through our thoughts, through our words, through our deeds, our actions, the things that we do then as we leave this place and all during the week, that we sense and know that you have done and sparked something new, something that is good in our life, that we are now making a change and adapting more to you, your love, your truth, to the grace, receiving all you have for us and walking in the fullness that you have designed for us. Lord, we love you, we praise you for this, and thank you. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen. So I titled it Self-Righteous versus the Humble Servant. Okay, in the verses is because I noticed something as I was reading the Bible. I read my Bible once in a while. And as I was reading through that, I noticed something that some of the greats do as they teach. It is a teaching strategy that they use to help emphasize a truth or the truth. Okay, guys like Jesus, guys like Solomon or Paul or John or James, they were often found using contrasts to point out that there's this way and then there's that way, and now you have to decide which direction you want to go. Okay, and it was a contrast. They put it together. I'll give you an example. The book of Proverbs gives many examples about what I'm talking about. Solomon would compare things like the sluggard to the diligent, right? And he would point out that if the sluggard gets this, then the diligent get this. Okay, the Apostle Paul, or another Solomon, would point out the contrast between the upright or the righteous and the wicked. Okay, or he would point out the good and the evil. He would point out the complete opposites. The Apostle Paul used this several times in his teachings as well, and he taught in his writings about like the difference between the proud and the humble. Okay, James makes a great comparison between the wisdom that is from God, okay, which he says is pure and peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated, it's full of mercy and good fruits, versus earthly, sensual, devilish wisdom that is full of bitter envying and strife and causes division. So you see, these guys use these contrasts to be able to point out that there's more than one way that you can go in life. Okay, and probably two different degrees you can go in one way or the other. But ultimately, it comes down to there's one path or another path. You're going to get on that. You'll either be right in the middle of those roads, maybe off to the side a little bit. But ultimately, there is two paths that God has given. Okay, now we are called by God, if you put this comparison, we are called by God to be humble servants. Okay, that's the side we want to end up on, right? We are called to be humble servants of our King. And yet, in the body of Christ, in the church of Jesus Christ, there seems to be a ton of the complete opposite, which is the self-righteous. Okay, rather than being humbly serving our God and our King, people have caught up in themselves. So this morning, I'd like to use this teaching strategy of contrasting one with the other to help you decide which direction that you want to go with your life. Okay, what I've done, and don't be alarmed at the number here, I have put together 15 different statements, okay, comparing the two ways of living that really should make it an easy choice. By the time we get done, you'd be like, oh yeah, definitely want to be the humble servant and not live in self-righteousness. Before we jump into contrasting those two, I'd like to define just a little bit about what it means to be self-righteous. Okay, simply put, it means that you have thoughts that you think, okay, you have actions that you do that make you think you're in a better position with God, okay, or that you think makes you righteous or in right standing with God, even though these thoughts and actions do not actually have anything to do with God at all. Okay, they are thoughts and actions that are rooted in serving you as the created being, instead of humbly serving the Creator. Okay, and this is it's a pull, okay, that the devil likes to use to pull people into serving the God of self, okay, the created being, rather than worshiping the Creator and honoring Him and serving Him with our lives. Okay, let me give you an example here in Romans chapter 10. We'll read the first three verses in Romans 10. He says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is this, that they might be saved. For I bear them a record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to accurate knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Okay, well, the Israelites Paul was describing were trying to make outward actions their righteousness instead of submitting to the authority and the power and the glory and the lordship of Jesus Christ and living through grace. Okay, so to simplify all that, they went about trying to establish their own righteousness. Okay, the self-righteous will do things their own way instead of God's way. Okay, that's what happens. That's what it means to be self-righteous. We get caught up in, we're going to do it my way. And we will do it that way, whether it works or not, or the right way or not. We are caught up in self. That is self-righteousness. So I want to give you these 15 things. They're fairly quick. Some of them I'll elaborate on a little bit. I'll give you scriptures from many of them. Some of them are pretty short, so they don't take too long to go through. But bear with me. Here's number one. The self-righteous are always critical of others, while the humble servant appreciates the intrinsic value of the people around them. Okay, the self-righteous are critical. Always pointing out flaws. Matthew 7, 3 through 5 says this. This is Jesus speaking, being read in your Bible. It says, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Okay, the self-righteous, in other words, are great at pointing out everybody else's faults while not even noticing their own shortcomings. The yielded child of God, on the other hand, is inclined to acknowledge the good in others. In Philippians 2, verse 3, it says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." Okay, that means you don't do anything out of selfishness or empty conceit, or do things that are rooted in divisive motives, trying to divide and conquer. But you do things with an attitude of humility, being neither arrogant nor self-righteous, and regard others as more important than yourself. Number two, the self-righteous are jealous of others, while the humble servant wants others to succeed. Over the years, I have seen Christians hoping that others will fail within the body. They may not outwardly say, "I hope so-and-so stumbles and falls on their face," but their actions and some of their words, some of their statements and things come across as that's exactly what they're hoping for. Some even go as far as actually belittling to their face or behind their back. Some will throw out stumbling blocks in front of others, try to get them to trip. Others might even try to sabotage another's walk with God. Okay, also that they will feel better about themselves. Okay, this thought and behavior is rooted in self-centeredness and pride. Philippians 2:4, the very next verse after the one we just read, said, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Okay, we are to have the same attitude as our Lord Jesus. Okay, he is our great example of selfless humility. Everything that he said and did was done to glorify God and to help us succeed. Okay, he is our example. Number three, for the self-righteous, you can never do enough. But the humble servant will genuinely appreciate any help that you can give. God bless you. Speaking to and about the self-righteous Pharisees, Jesus said this in Matthew 23:4. He said, "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." In other words, they're expecting something out of somebody else that they themselves will not do. Okay, and that is how you can tell if someone is condemning you with a self-righteous attitude, or if it's actually somebody who is genuinely giving you good advice. Okay, ask this question: are they themselves adhering to what they are saying for you to do? Okay, if they're telling you, you need to quit doing this or you need to start doing that, and you look at their life and you think, huh, they don't do that themselves. It doesn't go over very well. The humble servant will not be a hypocrite. Number four, the self-righteous are driven and will push you, but the humble servant will motivate you to be more like them. If you remember the story about Mary and Martha, okay, and their encounter with Jesus when Jesus comes over to their house, Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. She worshiped him. She adored him. She learned from him. While Martha zoomed around the house, got busy cooking and cleaning and staying busy and trying to get all the things done that she thought were necessary at that time. At one point, she even stops, interrupts Jesus, and complains to him that Mary is just sitting there doing nothing. And she suggests that he should tell her to get up off her backside and help her. But Jesus points out that Mary has chosen the good thing. The self-righteous will push you and push you and push you and try to get you so busy that you do not even realize that you're missing the good stuff anymore. You'll think they're kind of foolish for just sitting there and worshiping Jesus, spending time in church, time in their Bible, time with God. Okay, and that's just foolishness. They need to get busy. They need to work more. They need to do this. They need to do that. And they'll push and push and push. You know, when I see the contrast between these two women, I instantly say, I want to be more like Mary. I want to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn and absorb everything I possibly can. Number five, the self-righteous are unteachable, and they think they know it all already. While the humble servant is eager to learn and willing to admit they don't know everything, even yielding to the wisdom of those around them. I came across an article in Christianity Today magazine. It's titled, Three Signs of an Unteachable Attitude. Okay, I'd like to read this article to you this morning. It says, being unteachable is a sign of a proud heart. Men and women who refuse to receive correction, necessary rebuke, and godly counsel are people who are destined to fall. Many verses in the scripture back this assertion. Proverbs 11:14, for starters, tells us that where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Many people who have this unteachable attitude, however, don't even notice it. Even though they don't notice their attitude, though, they will notice its effects. Still, there's hope for a person who repents of this attitude. Do you want to know if you have an unteachable attitude? Here are some signs to look out for. Okay, these are three signs of an unteachable attitude. Number one is thinking that your way is the best, even if it is failing. Okay, many of us think we can solve any problem, no matter what kind it is, but we find ourselves failing when we use our usual approach. Do we receive a friend's wise advice and try another method, or simply assert that ours is best and end up failing again? Proverbs 26:12 tells us, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Number two, the second sign of an unteachable attitude is getting offended for being corrected. This is a strong sign of an unteachable character, the article says. Do we get offended when somebody points out our faults and tells us what is right? If we do, we might have an unteachable heart and mind. Proverbs 12:1 tells us, whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. Not sure what version they use for this article, but that's what it says. Yes, it is possible to accept and enjoy correction and instruction simply because we know it helps us to grow and preserves our lives. Number three, the third sign of an unteachable attitude is appearing receptive to instruction, correction, and rebuke, but secretly rejecting it in your heart. Here's a sign, the article says, that is easy to spot. Do we appear receptive to instruction or correction, and even repentant when rebuked, but still do the same thing that caused us to be corrected? It's sort of a passive response, appearing to have agreed with the instruction or rebuke, but actually rebellious in the heart level. Many of us add some grumbling, mumbling, or complaining to the mix, making it even harder to solve. Proverbs 12:5 tells us the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. And that's the end of that article. The humble servant is teachable. Their mouth and their heart match up. You remember Jesus talking about that? He talked about they who worshiped him with their mouth, but their heart was far from him. Okay, that's exactly what that's talking about. It's people that think they have something figured out. It makes them unteachable. They don't want to learn something new. Okay, they don't want to receive that. Therefore, they don't match up their heart with what their mouth says. They may tell you they want that, but they really don't. Number six, getting back to the 15 statements. Number six is the self-righteous won't admit when they're wrong, but the humble servant repents and seeks forgiveness. Some self-righteous scribes were questioning Jesus as to where he got the authority to speak the things he did. And here's what that conversation looked like. In Matthew 21, verse starting in verse 24, it says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, Why did ye not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, We cannot tell. And he said unto them, Neither tell I you what by what authority I do these things. See, they were not willing to admit that they were wrong, or else they would have had to change. Okay, if they admitted that, well, yes, John's baptism was from heaven, they would have had to convert, right? They were not willing to do that. So they stood their ground and said, Sorry, we can't answer you. They refused to admit it. The humble servant of Christ, on the other hand, seeks forgiveness when they are wrong. Okay, changing their way of thinking, changing their outward behavior and their actions, and adjusting them to line up with the truth. Number seven, the self-righteous think that they are already perfect, while the humble servant wakes up every day desiring and seeking to be more like Christ. For the self-righteous, it's all about the outward show. Matthew 23, verse 25 and 26 says this, Jesus talking, he said, Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. See, as long as they had shined up the outside, they think that all is well, but they're missing it. They're missing the point. The next verse, 23, 27, he says, Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Okay, when you're puffed up in pride, you are blinded to the truth of your own condition. But to the true Christian, they seek to empty themselves out, to pour out anything that is not of God so that more of Christ can flow through their life. Number eight, the self-righteous will not take correction, while the humble servant seeks to know if there's any error in their life so they can correct it. You know, we touched on this earlier when we read that article from Christianity Today. The self-righteous get offended when they're corrected. Okay, in fact, if you read your Bible, you'll see that the religious people got so offended when Jesus corrected their religious doctrine They got so mad that they actually sought ways to destroy Jesus and to kill him. Okay, the self-righteous will often try to find a way to take you out as well. True colors often shine through when someone is corrected. But as a devoted believer, we should want to have a mentor or an elder that speaks truth into our lives. In Hebrews it says, "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him, for the Lord disciplines the one that he loves, and he chastises every son whom he receives." You know, I remember in many occasions in my life where my pastor would correct me about something, not years ago, I'm talking a couple weeks ago, okay, and he would correct me on something and it would ruffle my feathers. And usually if it's in a conversation where we can talk through it, I might get through it right then and there, but usually within a day or two, I realized that what he said was very accurate and true. He was just saying it because he loved me and wanted to help me in this particular area. It was somebody who had been through something, that knew something that I didn't know, and I could receive of that from him. And I would take that correction and I would go to God and I would admit to him that, you know what, God, I missed it on this mark. I missed this part. I would admit to myself that I have an area that I need to change. And 9 times out of 10, I would call my pastor and say, "Hey, I realized you were right on that. I'm sorry about that. I literally did that 2 weeks ago. I missed it on something. And I apologize to God, to myself, and then talk to my pastor. He's the one that helped me to see it." Number 9. The self-righteous want the esteem of people, but the humble servant wants only to please God. Matthew 6, 1 through 4 says this. Jesus again speaking said, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly." This one is all about your motives on why you do what you do. Number 10. The self-righteous are proud and arrogant, but the humble servants are yielded to God and acknowledge their dependence on him. James 4, 6 and 7 says, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." You know, if you really think about that message in that passage, to resist the devil is to resist pride. If you think about what it was that got the devil kicked out of heaven, was that he tried to exalt himself above God. It was pride. That's the root of much of the trouble in the body of Christ today. Proverbs, I think it's in chapter 15, says, "Only by pride cometh contention." Okay, the animosity and tension that people feel comes from pride. We've got to realize and daily affirm as a true believer our total dependence on God. Without God, you are nothing. Number 11. The self-righteous don't speak of God very much, leaving him out of the picture. But the humble servant is always acknowledging God. Okay, the self-righteous seldom witness about Jesus. You will see this in people's lives. They don't really need him in their life. In fact, their life is pretty much the way it is because of the way they made it. They just have a little bit of God. They'd still need God to get in. They need their ticket to get into heaven. But they're doing it on their own. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us how we really ought to live, right? "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." Number 12, the righteous don't pray very much. The humble servant prays without ceasing. The self-righteous don't pray because they don't think that they need God's intervention. They can figure it out for themselves. The humble depend on God for everything. Number 13. The self-righteous want you to accept their opinion as gospel, while the humble servant believes that God's opinion is the only one that matters. A Pharisee named Gamaliel actually got this one right. It was nice to see a Pharisee can say the right things and do the right things. I think he had partially converted at this point. But they were going to destroy some of the disciples because they were preaching that Jesus was the Christ. And this Pharisee named Gamaliel stands up and he has a wise word that he shares with them. At the end of it, he says this with this statement, Acts 5:38 and 39. It says, "And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or work be of men, it will come to nothing. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest happily ye be found to fight against God." If someone thinks that their opinion is of more value than what God says about something, they are clearly caught up in self-righteousness. Number 14. The self-righteous will not ask for help from God or man, thinking, "I can do it. I can handle it myself." While the humble servant is just that, they are humble. They're not only humble enough to admit when they need some help, but they are comfortable asking God or man for help as often as necessary. You know, there are so many times that people are struggling through things in their life and they simply will not ask for the help that could set them free. Hey, things like divine counsel or getting spirits addressed through deliverance, getting things out that could set people free. Those are things that people will bog down and live their life trying to pray things out, just making, all they have to do is humble themselves and say, "I have some demonic spirits attacking my life and I need some help." And you seek it out from somebody who knows. I do it. Okay? I still do that. First Peter 5:5 says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble." The Bible tells us that pride comes before a fall. Some people will try to be so independent, try to be so perfect that they will never receive the help that would transform their life. They have areas of their life that they've struggled with and will not give it up and allow God to deal with them in that area. Last one is number 15. The self-righteous will try to exalt themselves to a position of leadership or influence, but the humble servant will let the Lord exalt them when the time is right. 1 Peter 5:6, after the one we just read, says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." Okay, it's about admitting your dependence on God. It's about saying, "This is bigger than you." It's about saying, "I can't do this on my own." It's about humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God, trusting in Him that He can do more than you can do. So we've gone through 15 different statements, giving you a contrast of the self-righteous versus the humble servant. So now you've got a choice. God is not going to force anyone to follow in His plan. He won't force anybody to do what He asks of them, what His expectation is. You have to decide on this day whom you will serve. You can proudly serve self. You can go on trying to establish your own way, to do it your way, to handle it yourself. Or you can truly humble yourself and yield to the Lord. Yield to the Holy Spirit. He's speaking to your hearts right here, right now. He is saying, "This is my best plan for you." And it's up to you to make that decision. Father God, we are praising You in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank You that Your Word speaks, Lord. Your Word speaks volumes. It speaks clearly. Father, it speaks in ways that we can understand. It speaks in ways that we can incorporate and entreat into our life. Father, your word is our guide. It is our textbook. It is our instruction book, our instruction manual for how we should live. Lord, I pray that each and every heart that hears this today or in the future, Father, will yield themselves unto you and your Holy Spirit, that will submit unto you as the great divine authority in their life, Lord, and that you will get through and penetrate into those places that I cannot. Father, I pray that your word speaks volumes in ways that are so easy to grab hold of that people will say, I got that. God spoke to me in that. I hear you, Lord. I hear you. Now I act. Now I do something because of it. Lord, we praise you this morning. Thank you for giving us your word, Lord, as a guide. Thank you for showing us who you are. Thank you for manifesting. I thank you for healing people earlier today, Lord, in this service. I thank you for manifesting your glory in worship, speaking unto hearts as we worshiped and adored you. Father, and I thank you that you're speaking through your word right here and now, Lord. Have your will in your way in our life, Lord. We choose to bow down to you as our God and our King. We worship you and you only. It's in Jesus' name that we say, amen. Amen and amen.